6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2:03 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board. A huge show today, including some tickets to give away for Friday's game against St. Louis. But we are going to jump right into it because we have a very special guest today whose time is very valuable and we don't want to waste a second of it. General Manager George McPhee is going to join us today, Frank.
Yeah, and certainly looking forward to that. George McPhee, who, you could say was instrumental. In fact, he was the person that put all this together and was responsible for everything that has happened this storybook season. But the work is not done yet, my friend, because we want to make a playoff run and a deep one at that.
All right, and we are pleased to be joined by the architect of the Vegas Golden Knights, George McPhee. Welcome, George.
Thank you very much.
You know, George, it seemed like for the longest time we were waiting to say the P word, a playoffs, and we couldn't say it until we got the X. The X is there, so congratulations, my friend.
Thank you very much. It really feels great. We were allowed to exhale for about 30 seconds and enjoy it, and then get back to work here. But we are really proud of all of these players in this team and everyone in this organization to be able to do this in our first year.
Now, George, obviously the night that they clinched that playoff spot was a big night, and it was very important and certainly historic night for an expansion team to do that. But I know everybody wanted to win it on Saturday, but was it a little bit better or sweeter that maybe they did get to do it at home at T-Mobile here in front of the incredible fan base in Las Vegas?
Well, it ultimately worked out that way. We certainly wanted to do it earlier. As with many other things that have happened this year, it worked out in a really neat way for our fan base. And to be able to play that game at home, clinch at home, and have, you know, sort of recognize it, let our fans know if they didn't already know what transpired and received the response that we did at the end of the game was as unique as all and rewarding as all of these other things that have happened this year. It's just been a phenomenal year playing hockey in Vegas.
Well, we certainly do want to look at some of the stuff that has transpired this season. But when it comes to the playoffs and the team and what's going on with it, a lot of people had preconceived notions that, this was going to be a year that it's an inaugural season. You're looking towards the future, the big picture and that. At what point did things kind of change for you a little bit that maybe you were going to have to reconstruct or rethink your thought process with this team and maybe not do some of the trades or other things? Or did you just stay on the same course the whole time along and say, look, this is the plan, but we have something special here, so we're still going to try to do everything here, but you're still looking big picture down the road?
Well, we made it clear to everyone that we wanted to be a good team, that we wanted to give this marketplace a chance, that we wanted to deliver for our fans. The support has been incredible. So our plan all along was to try and be as good as we could be, as quickly as we could be, and get surplus draft picks. And we were able to do both. I don't really know at what point in the season I thought we could do this as a manager. You know, I've seen other teams unravel. I know that happens in this business. And I just kept hoping that we could win the next game, win the next game, win the next game, which is about the only way you can approach this business. And as we got closer to the deadline, I thought, you know what, these guys have played their guts out for us. We're in a good place. We're not going to dismantle. We're going to add a little bit if we can. And, you know, basically that's the point where we're letting everyone know that we felt that we could make the playoffs and sort of go for it here. So that's what we're trying to do.
that look forward to the next game, play the next shift mentality. That is the rallying cry that we hear from head coach Gerard Gallant each and every day. He spoke at his last press conference after practice about the coaching staff that he has around him and how some of the guys he has known for a long time, some of the guys were very new to him. When you were putting together this coaching staff, how did that whole process come about to get this sort of eclectic group of gentlemen?
Well, it was largely driven by Gerard. You know, typically the manager hires a head coach and then you work together on filling it out, but it's largely driven by him. He's got to get the people that he feels comfortable with, and you know, some other, you know, in other places and other models, you know, the manager picks a guy, the coach picks a guy, then the manager picks a guy and the coach picks a guy. I typically haven't operated that way. I like to let the coach pick the guys he wants. The only position I had a strong influence in was the goaltending coach, because he was hired before any of the staff was hired, because we needed him a year earlier. And so, with that exception, Turk basically put the rest of it together, and it was a mixture of, you know, different things. Experienced guys, a young guy that's closer in age to, you know, the players, and it's turned out to be a heck of a staff. They are very, very good at what they do.
When it comes to picking Gerard Gallant as the head coach, I was ecstatic when you guys made that announcement that he was going to be the coach, and certainly the way that things happen in Florida and everything, kind of going from, you know, something that was, in my opinion, just completely wrong, and then landing here in Vegas, it's almost like that's part of the whole storybook thing as well. But what was it about Gerard Gallant that made him your choice? Because I think you made an excellent choice there, and there were other names ballied about, but it kind of seemed like that was the guy that you wanted all along.
It was, and he was really an obvious choice, but what, you know, we had time, so we wanted to use it, and there were people that had asked to interview, so we wanted to be as comprehensive as we could. We did have a lot of other things that we had to get done, obviously, and so we were working on them. We thought we'd wait until the spring to see what would be available, what did the landscape look like with respect to coaches. We had several conversations with Gerard. There was another gentleman that had asked to talk to us when the season was over, and we promised him that we would, and we did. But Gerard was the guy, and the minute that we were finished with honoring our promise, we went to Gerard and felt that he was the guy. And you know, we wanted a guy that the players would enjoy playing for, and respect for what he's accomplished, and respect for who he is as a person. A coach has to be a lot of things, and Gerard embodies a lot of the things that we need, whether it's tactical or whether it's leadership or whether it's patience or whether it's presence and authority and all of those things. He would do a lot in the community for us. He would do a lot for our players. We wanted the right atmosphere, someone who was patient, someone who had a plan. We wanted someone that, you know, unrestricted free agents may want to, you know, play for when they were available. We didn't want to shortchange ourselves in any regard. And the bottom line was that, you know, our mandate was early on that we were going to hire the best human talent we could find in every single position in this organization. And we set out to do that, and it worked out pretty well.
Vegas Golden Knights GM George McPhee joining us here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Really appreciating the time. Okay, so you got the coaching staff in place. Everything is ready to roll. The expansion night's coming. Everybody all over the place is picking who they pick. What were some of the decisions, and how did you guys come about it? Was it Gerard Gallant? Was it you? Was it a committee of something? And some of the guys that you guys picked that have just absolutely stood out this year. We know that Jonathan Marchessault has some talent, and he certainly lived up to what we thought. William Karlsson has just taken the entire NHL and the hockey world by storm. A guy like Erik Haula, who gets his 29th goal last year, was incredible. What went into this, and how did you see stuff in some of these players that, quite frankly, other people just didn't?
Well, with respect to the approach, we put our staffs together. in terms of scouts, and then we put our analytical staff together, and we started to meet early. As you know, we started having mock drafts early to go through, you know, what the whole process would be like when the real bullets were flying, and we just got better with every cut. You know, you do one in October, then you do another one in November, and we're getting better because we're more facile with the rules, and we're getting better because our scouts are getting a better read on the teams that they're covering. And then we met with a few GMs who had gone through expansion, and there were some real good takeaways. And the one that, you know, that we liked the most was to try to find unknown surprises. Just don't go for the big names. Go for the guys that will play themselves into being big names someday, and the guys that might have some upside. So that's what we tried to do, and that's so, you know, you get, you know, I think Marchessault scored 30 goals, so he wasn't a secret, but Riley Smith turned out to be one heck of a player. Carlson's a heck of a player. Miller and Schmidt and Theodore and all these kids have done a great job for us. So, you know, we did it the best we could. We tried to be as organized and progressive as we could be, and we kept our fingers crossed, and it worked out pretty well.
What about Carlson specifically? Because he's the guy who really jumps off the sheet. 40 goals. He had 6 last year. I know one of the funniest videos I think I've seen this whole year is when they're getting ready for the game in Columbus, and a couple players asking him, are they going to have a video tribute to him, and tonight, and he kind of laughs and says, no, I only had 6 goals last year or whatever. But, I mean, he has been an excellent player. And even John Tortorella, when you guys played Columbus, he was kind of almost shaking his head like, wow, did we kind of miss on that one?
Well, we liked a lot of things about William. He has good size. He competes really, really well. Very low maintenance, and excellent defensively. And we just thought that he'd be a solid guy for us. The personality was perfect. And thought if we could ever get anything out of him offensively, we'd have a pretty well-rounded player. Certainly weren't expecting 40 goals, but we liked him. You know, he's, you know, we picked him, and he's obviously worked out really well for us, and we're delighted to have him, and hope that he can continue to play this way for us for the next 10 years.
And that's one of the things that's really stood out about William and about Riley Smith is that you see so many times that top end offensive talent guys are not the guys that are down there being gritty on the penalty kill, and what those guys have been able to do on the defensive side has really made the difference for you guys.
Oh, sure. When you can throw out, when you've got a couple of players that you can throw out anytime, 5-on-5, 4-on-4, 3-on-3, first over the boards in power play and first over the boards in PK, you got some really good players. And they've been driving this team, and so we're delighted to have them, and hope we can find more like them over the next few years.
You mentioned the fact that you knew that Carlson was a good player and you liked him. Obviously, you didn't see 40 goals in him. Nobody did. Is there anybody else that you drafted that you thought was pretty good that has really jumped off and you've gone, wow, they were even a lot better than we thought? Because one of those guys to me is a guy like Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, who's just been incredible, and he might not have the most glowing stats, but that's not his job. But, I mean, this guy might be the pound-for-pound toughest player in the NHL.
Well, he sure is. You can't be a good penalty killer unless you're willing to block shots, and this guy will sacrifice everything to block shots, and he's been hurt a lot this year doing it, but he continues to do it. And Nosek is the same way. Those guys, again, when you can get that kind of mileage out of your fourth line, that you can play your fourth line against the other team's first line and not worry about what's going to happen, and you can still, and you can throw them out, and they're excellent penalty killers, you've got real good players there. And so we're really happy with the way both of those guys have played, Nosek and Dalmar. And we're really happy with virtually every player on our team. They've, you know, most of them are having career years. You could point to almost any player and say he's played beyond expectations, you know, whether it's the young defensemen like Schmidt and Miller and Theodore or a veteran like Engelin, who was expecting that? You know, we liked him. We liked the way he played in Calgary last year, brought him in, and then he's, you know, he's played top 4 minutes and been a great leader for this hockey club. So Gerard's done a terrific job with all of these players.
General Manager George McPhee joining us, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. When it comes to that first draft class that you had in the amateur draft last year, and you look at Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, Eric Brandstrom, Nick Hegg, how much have you been able to follow the day-to-day machinations of what those guys are up to and be able to evaluate them, or is that something that you'll look at once this season is over?
Yeah, well, I like to just get snapshots of how they're doing and certainly look at their stats from time to time, and then we'll watch some video on them, and I'd like to get out to see them live at some point. But I saw Hague live this year, I saw Suzuki live this year. Brandstrom's been overseas, and Cody Glass will be able to see here hopefully in the next week or two. They've all done very, very well. I think we drafted very well. I don't know that anyone's going to be a superstar, but they're going to be real solid players. They're going to play in the NHL for a long time. And I don't know how soon we'll see them here. We're going to take our time and develop people right. But when they are ready to play here, I think the fans are going to like them because all of them are very intelligent players. We really emphasize skill and hockey sense. And they really have high ratings and sort of elite in that regard. So it'll be fun to watch them play when their time comes.
With the success that the team has had this year on the ice, and then the success of these youngsters all over the place that we just talked about, has it changed your game plan for the upcoming draft this year? Or is it still the same thing? You're just looking for the best players out there that can fit, whether it's a year, two, three down the road or whatever. Or is it now giving you a little bit of a luxury that maybe you can take a shot on somebody who you might not have before because you already do have a really good quality team in place?
Yeah, I think the approach to the draft always remains the same, and that is you take the best players. Sometimes if you feel like you need a center or you need this position or that position, and that position happens to be available, you make that player out to be better than he is. And so I've tried not to take that approach and instead go in and say, who's the very best player right now when we're picking, and let's take that guy. Because if you have any holes in your lineup, that player isn't going to fill that anytime soon. And there are other ways to fill that through trades or free agency.
Well, George, you just recently got back from Boca Raton, the general manager's meetings. The main topic of discussion was about goaltender interference. Can you take us into that meeting a little bit? They've developed a new structure of how they're going to go about making the call. But for you guys as general managers, was your conversation more on the what is goaltender interference, or was it more about who determines the goaltender interference?
It wasn't that there was certainly some healthy discussion about what interference is, but what we had to clarify was the standard of review and then the process. And so, first of all, we went through the standard of review, and we've decided it's a high standard that we have to have to be able to overturn a call. Now, the referees are experienced guys. They've been doing this a long time. Unless a guy is dead wrong, we should probably leave it alone. And that's the way we want to approach it. And then we had to get into the process of how we're going to do it. And we thought that what we needed more of was consistency. And we thought that it would help if all the decisions were made by the five or six guys that are watching the games every night based in Toronto, rather than having 30 or 40 different referees doing it, making the final decision, and then adding a veteran referee, retired referee, to that group in Toronto would help even more and give the referees on the ice more comfort. So that's the way everything worked down there. It was a very, very comprehensive discussion. Took us several hours that first day to get through that. We had many other things on the agenda, and we pushed them all aside to work on that particular issue all day long. And I think we're finally there. The board has approved it, and we'll move along.
George, we truly appreciate the time and that you're spending with us here today on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. And I know that you're a very busy man, but we would like to ask you this as well. When you look at this season and you're looking at it in your rearview mirror, and certainly there's still a lot of work to be done, and like we mentioned, the playoffs are coming up, and that is the focal point now, but how would you describe what this season, what this city, the fan base, and everything else has been to you? I mean, I know everybody thought there was going to be success, but I don't think anybody thought that the relationship and the love fest between the city and the team and everything else was going to be quite to the extent that it is now, and it's just been absolutely incredible.
Well, it sure has, and as someone who manages in this game, you get very little time to reflect. You get very little time to savor anything. When the year is over, I will go through all of the notes I've made throughout the year to figure out how we get better next year. But I can say, and I haven't had a chance to step away, but I can say it's been one of the most incredible things I have ever seen in all of sport, in any sport. That a first-year team can come in and play the way we have, but have a marketplace respond like this one has. This has been. I'm running out of adjectives, but it's just the most incredible place to play, I think, in the league or in any league. It's a wonderful place to live and work. Wonderful people here, and the support we've got has been nothing short of amazing. And when I talk to people, it's not only just this market. What's going on in this market has attracted everyone's attention, the team and the market, and how the market has responded. It's sort of resonated nationally and around the world. So this is it's been so unique. I don't know that I'll ever be able to absorb the magnitude of all of this until I walk away someday and look back and say, holy smokes, but I haven't spent a lot of time in my life being able to do that. I just know today that we have this wonderful fan base to play in front of, and right now we're in first place in our division, and our minor league team is in first place in their division. And we're doing something right, and we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope we can continue to make good decisions.
All right. Well, thank you, Georgia. We do appreciate you taking the time out. We know that you are the busiest fella up there at City National Arena, and we appreciate you making a few moments for us.
It's been fun, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, George McPhee. And always fun to talk to him, Frank, and to get his perspective. He's the guy that we see sort of up and below. The windows there, and it's always fun to see him.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too, because when you see him up there, you kind of get the thing of this is a guy that's really in charge, and he's really overseeing everything. He's got so many different things to do. I can't even imagine how many different mechanisms and things are going through his mind at one time, because he's looking at the drafts. He's looking at free agents. He's looking at keeping guys here and contracts assigned. He's looking at how the team is doing, what's going on. I mean, he is literally the mastermind behind all of it, and he's got an input and say on everything. I know that Gerard Gallant coaches the players, but he certainly has an input there. And it is really interesting, and I think a lot of people have kind of maybe don't remember that as great as Gerard Gallant has been, there was a coach before him, and that was Dave Pryor. And Dave Pryor, Gerard Gallant is the coach of the year. Dave Pryor might be the assistant coach of the year.
Yeah, he certainly has have his fingerprints all over this organization.
Yeah, and certainly going as deep as he has is absolutely incredible. And I guess Chris just informed me, too, that we're going to have some tickets here for Incubus to give away. Chris, you said that is coming to the Hard Rock. Do you know the day and time of that?
Yeah, it's tomorrow night, okay. Friday, March 30th. It's at the Joint at the Hard Rock. So if you can't pick them up before tomorrow night, don't call.
All right, yeah, so let's do caller number... Caller number nine. Caller number 9 right now, tickets for Incubus tomorrow night at the Hard Rock. Of course, if you don't have tickets to the Vegas Golden Knights game, go and watch a band rock out a little bit. And by the way, then after the next segment, we will also have tickets for the Golden Knights and St. Louis. But caller 9 right now, 876-1340, 702-876-1340. When we come back, lots of news to get to, the recap of last night's game, a lot more to come. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Caller number 9, 702-876-1340.
And congratulations to Patrick. He's going to go to that Incubus concert tomorrow night. We are going to have some other tickets here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show a little bit later for that St. Louis game on Friday. A special thanks to George McPhee and all the folks up at the Golden Knights for giving us some time today. Eric Tosi, Sage Sammons, Alicia Girardi, always taking care of us. So thank you to all those folks. And it was fun. I like when we get to sit down with George. You don't get to do it enough, but I love it.
No, definitely. I mean, we'd like to do it more, but you appreciate how busy that guy is and just everything he's done. But, you know, what a – we talk about the players on the ice all the time, but the people behind the scenes have been
– Yeah, they have – the people all behind have taken care of us all year long, especially all the media folks, Sage and Eric and Alyssa and Allison and Sierra and the whole crew.
Yeah, absolutely. And George McPhee putting everything together, and just an incredible job.
Yeah, certainly is. One of the guys that he put together in this roster has had one whale of a season. He factored in to last night's game. It's time to look a little bit at last night's game. Arizona came into town. They were 0-4 against the Golden Knights, but put together a good effort last night to get a 3-2 victory. And there were some good moments, though, however, for the Knights. Struggled a little bit, though, to put the full 60 minutes together.
Yeah, once again, they got out of the gate slow. That first period has been a problem lately. A lot of times they come back, and they came back a couple times last night. But when you're constantly chasing a game, it's very difficult to win those games in the NHL because there is parity and because a lot of teams out there, they do have talent. I mean, everybody's got talent. They're all NHL players. And we had talked about it quite a bit in the pregame before yesterday's game. Arizona's been playing very well lately. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, really well. Some people think that they're one of the better teams in the NHL. I don't know if I'd go that far, but they're certainly a team that if you look past them, you're probably going to lose.
And they're a winning team since the start of 2018. They had such an awful October and have been trying to recover from that all year, but they have certainly played very well. They went down to Tampa and beat the Lightning and then came here and beat us. So two of the best teams in the NHL all going down at the hands of the Arizona Coyotes. Well, one of the guys that George McPhee found had a lot of value, even though they had maybe given up on him in Minnesota, was Eric Halla, and he had a beauty of a goal last night. That is our Best Mattress Play of the Game. The Play of the Game brought to you by Best Mattress, Best Service, Best Selection, Best Price Guaranteed, Eric Halla.
Halla had a stick whack from behind. He comes into the zone, lost the puck. Neil gets it back. Neil down low for Halla. He scores! Halla! It's a tie game!
And really a tandem effort between James Neal and Eric Halla, giving the puck up a little bit, but James Neal picking the pocket and getting it back to Eric Halla for the beauty.
Yeah, and James Neal, another guy, we knew that he had talent, and the question coming in here was he going to be here at this point of the season? Was he going to be one of those guys traded before the trade deadline? That's what everybody thought beforehand, but with the success they've had and his feeling for the city and this feeling and the city's feeling towards him, he has been an absolutely incredible part. But Eric Halla, I think he just, we talked about on the postgame show last night with Dan Duva, the 29 goals matches what he scored the last two seasons combined, 15 and 14. 29 goals, he's going to be a 30-goal scorer. He's got a lot of talent, and he's not just a goal scorer. He does everything for this team. He's another one of those guys that's a two-way player. You don't see that all over the place necessarily in the league, and he's one of the most unassuming stars that you're ever going to see. I'm not going to call him a superstar, but he is a star in this league, especially with the way he's playing this year, and he acts like, oh, shucks, I'm just one of the guys.
Right, and never one to shy away from accountability or to criticize his own play or to say, you know, the team, we as a collective group need to get better. Never an excuse coming from Eric Halla. And I said he's got 29 this year. He's got five games to get to 30. We'd love to see him cash in as a 30-goal scorer. Well, another guy we had our eye on, his development this year, and we've seen some tremendous peaks. We've seen a few valleys along the way, but he always seems to find a way to bounce back, and he's learning to play within the large body that he has, and that is Alex Tuch. Alex Tuch was our player of the game. The player of the game brought to you by Brankus Team Realty, your home sold guaranteed. Alex Tuch.
Up top to Marchessault, right point. Slides to the middle. Right circle, Carlson. Top of the right circle. Back to Marchessault. He scores! Alex Tuch on the doorstep right there again. Knights tie it 2-2.
And Alex Tuch with the power play goal, going right where he likes to be in front of the net with a beautiful tip. We see him doing that drill at City National Arena every day, and he cashed one in last night.
And we've seen him do it all season long as well, but he had a stretch there basically since November. I believe it was November 24th where he didn't get one of those on goal, or if he did, it happened to hit the goaltender or somebody else in front. So nice to see him get the power play goal. That's, by the way, his back-to-back games now. He does seem to be he's getting more comfortable there. He is growing into his body. You sometimes forget how young he is, and I know everybody has their fan favorites, and we all have different relationships with some of the guys that, you know, some guys you gravitate towards, some guys seem to gravitate towards you a little bit more. There's natural relationships that are built in that, but Alex Tuch might be one of, if not the favorite interview for everybody out there, because he never says no. He's always got that gigantic smile on his face. He's 21 years old, living large in Las Vegas, playing professional hockey to a team that's going to the playoffs. This guy truly acts like the world is my oyster, and right now it is, because he is so outgoing and so good. Once he really gets that veteran savvy of knowing where to be, he could become a monster player. He could be a real steal from that expansion night.
Yeah, Alex Tuch, certainly a fan favorite all around Las Vegas. And I will let it be known publicly now, because I've been asked more times than I can count by mothers of daughters in this town, I cannot set up your daughter on a date with Alex Tuch. I get asked that all the time, and I cannot do it.
So Clayton's matchmaking service does not work. Alex Tuch is not one of the clients.
That is correct. So yes, I'm sorry to Las Vegas, but I cannot make that happen for you.
Yeah, but hey, we're at the beer house after every game. Sometimes Alex comes by.
Sometimes he's
at City National on a daily basis.
He's always at City National.
There's ways to meet him. It's not like after the game he goes home and he's stuck in his place.
It's just not. It's not through me. That is an impossibility in my world. Talking about the playoffs, Frank, there are some playoff berths consideration tonight. The San Jose Sharks can get in and get the X by their name if they beat the Nashville Predators in any fashion. There are some other ways that they can get 1 point and still get in, but win and you're in for San Jose today. The Capitals and the Maple Leafs both idle, but if some things happen, they could find themselves in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, and let's face it, all those teams that we just mentioned, they're going to be in the playoffs. What's your thoughts about tonight's game with Nashville? Because I'm rooting for the Predators, because I tend to be a realist. I'm not an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. I consider myself a realist. They're not catching Nashville for first in the West.
Right.
And the Sharks still scare me. If the Sharks win this game, St. Louis Friday, tomorrow night, is going to be a very difficult game, because they might be the hottest team in the NHL right now with six in a row. They've been playing incredible. They've been getting great goaltending. If they come out sluggish in the first period again, it could be a long night for the Golden Knights. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but they really need to focus and get ready for these playoff-caliber teams. But if San Jose wins tonight and Vegas does lose tomorrow, then that game Saturday, boy, all of a sudden it could get real tight real soon. I'm saying go Preds and win this baby in regulation.
Yeah, win it in regulation. That's where I am. I would like to see this Golden Knights team be able to finish off the season with that Pacific Division a title. And that's win by Nashville would go a long way to helping Vegas accomplish that goal. Maple Leafs and the Capitals both look like they're going to get in, if not tonight, over the next day or two. And for Toronto, a lot of that's going to be on the heels of Austin Matthews. He has he's become the fifth U.S.-born player with 30 goals in each of his first two seasons.
Yeah, that Austin Matthews is not a bad hockey player coming from the desert, huh?
Not bad.
Can't wait to see the first high draft pick hockey player from Vegas. Obviously, Jason Zucker is in the league and having a heck of a season himself out there. But, you know, it was kind of interesting, because the way that everything has fallen into place, even something like that, when Vegas gets announced a team and everything, and then a kid from Arizona gets the number one overall draft pick and everything, that's actually part of the story, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole thing has so many different branches to it that all connect and everything. It's really kind of weird, and it's almost too hokey for a Disney movie or something like that, and it's too serious for a Disney movie because this ain't no Mickey Mouse organization.
That's right. We have lots of other news, Frank. Some contracts have been put together. We will start in Columbus with Marcus Nudivara. The 23-year-old defenseman has 22 points through 59 games. He's getting a four-year contract with the Blue Jackets.
4 years, $10.8 million. The first three will be $2.5 million. Then he gets a little raise that final year to $3.3 million. And Columbus says that he's a valuable piece, and they're happy to have him around for the next four.
And they look like, after a little scary stretch, that they will probably be able to sneak in to one of those playoff spots, whether it's third in the Metro or first or second into the wild card. We've been following Eli Tolvanen from his saga over in the KHL, and we learned that his contract had been terminated over there, allowing him to sign with the Nashville Predators. He has done so. He signed a three-year entry-level deal with the Predators on Thursday. He will be in the arena tonight, not expected to play. It looks like he's going to make his debut against Buffalo over the weekend.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because terminated sounds like such a harsh term, but in reality, it was a mutual agreement that they were allowed to do that because he wanted to come over here. He could play as early as Saturday against Buffalo.
He could. Steven Stamkos, we had wondered whether or not he would be in the lineup tonight as Tampa plays Boston. It will be a game time decision, but he says he's ready to go.
Well, he says he's ready to go, and let's face it, I mean, they want to keep Boston in their rearview mirror, and they do have four games in the next 6 days, so they have a lot of games here in a very short period of time.
Jacob Trouba from Winnipeg, he was suffering from concussion-like symptoms. He is now past concussion protocol, but Winnipeg saying they're in no rush to get him back into the lineup, and he will not play tonight.
Yeah, and there's really no reason for him to be. I don't think they're going to catch Nashville for first place in the Central. They're not going to drop behind Minnesota. So right now they are just in a position where they're getting ready for the playoffs and trying to position themselves to get as healthy as possible when that starts up in about 2 weeks from yesterday.
Leo Komarov of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he will be back. He's been cleared to play. Many folks thought that he would play tomorrow in Brooklyn against the Islanders. Head coach Mike Babcock has confirmed that he will be in the lineup Saturday instead against Winnipeg. Babcock saying he was only going to play one of the two games. We've decided we want him Saturday instead of Friday.
Yeah, and I guess they want him against a team that they could be facing here. That's a Winnipeg, a quality team, a playoff team as well. Toronto, by the way, with their 4-3 win over Florida yesterday, 46th win of the season, 27th at home, both franchise records. It's a little bit hard to believe with as long as they've been in the league, but, you know, with the way the point scoring and everything is today, good for the Maple Leafs.
Pittsburgh Penguins also announcing an injury. Derek Brassard will miss the Penguins game against the Devils tonight because of a lower body injury that he sustained in the 5-2 loss to Detroit on Tuesday. Head coach Mike Sullivan did not offer any further prognosis other than saying that he is day-to-day. They also announced that Riley Sheehan will be back to his old role as a third-line center.
Yeah, and Mike Sullivan's not going to give you any more than he has to, and Pittsburgh, you know what? I know some people aren't talking about them as much with some of these other teams this year. Back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Till they lose the crown, they're still the team to beat in a lot of people's eyes.
In Calgary, TJ Brody and Matthew Tkachuk have been ruled out for the remainder of the season. They're saying it's likely that they will be out, but everyone thinks that that's just going to be a cover for they're not coming back this year. Tkachuk has missed 7 games since he was injured against the Islanders back on March 11th, and Brody has not skated since he ran into Ryan Reeves or was run over by Ryan Reeves when they were here in Vegas. Looks like both of those guys are done. Calgary has lost 6 straight games, and they have been mathematically eliminated from Stanley Cup playoff contention.
Yeah, both of those guys listed with upper body injuries, and I just wonder if they would both make this announcement this early if they were still in the playoff hunt, but they're not. And I still think TJ Brody is looking for the license number of the truck that ran him over.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it was 75 was the license number of
very
that
short number, easy to know.
Very short, easy. Ryan
but
Reeves
a big truck
blew him up. In Ottawa, Marian Gaborik will miss his 4th straight game with an undisclosed injury, and they have announced that Chris Weidman will be out for the rest of the season. He's going to have surgery on his hamstring.
And again, with Ottawa, whatever you need to get people healthy, there's no sense risking any kind of career things or anything that makes somebody worse. You might as well just start healing for next year.
The KHL, Frank, has also announced that they're going to cut two clubs from their season next year. This will be the second year in a row that they've cut two teams. They will also be lowering the salary cap in an attempt to spread out the talent a little bit further and have a more competitive league. Lada Togliatta and Jurgeri Kanti-Minneskla, both out of the league.
Yeah, and, you know, I just wonder with the KHL, if now that the PyeongChang Olympics are over, if we might see some of those players kind of gravitate back towards the NHL again, especially with the financial trouble that they've had over there, and hoping that 4 years from now that they will be able to participate in the Olympics. But it seems like some players actually went over there just so they could play, especially for Team Russia, in the Olympics.
Severstal Cheropovitz was also scheduled to be contracted, but they made the playoffs this year and saved their franchise.
Well, there you go. You know, sometimes winning is sweet, and sometimes it can not only save you a job, it can literally save a city, a franchise,
right,
apparently.
Win and you're in, and that's what they did. Well, we hope to see some winning here on Friday, and you can be a part of that as the St. Louis Blues come to town to play your Vegas Golden Knights. We've got a couple of tickets. We are going to give those away right now. We'll have the pregame for you at 7 o'clock, puck drop at 7:30. If you want to be at T-Mobile for that game, give us a call right now. 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Caller number 32. You are off to see that game. When we come back, we're going to find out what happens when hockey, country music, and Mexican food collide right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to Gavin. You're headed off to see the St. Louis Blues and the Golden Knights on a Friday night. And congratulations to that. And Frank, am I to understand that there are times in this world that hockey, country music, and Mexican food all collide?
Yes, and you are also to understand that apparently William Karlsson is not the only hockey player that likes Chipotle.
Interesting.
There is a young lady named Taylor Acorn. She is a country singer. You just heard her back there on the rejoin. By the way, full disclosure, one of the reasons when I saw this story that I thought we had to throw it in yesterday, because Chris told us that he would never play a country rejoiner.
Mm.
So I figured right off the bat I would sneak that in.
That's good.
So I purposely picked that story for that reason. But anyhow, Taylor Acorn tweeted out to Keith Kincaid, the backup goaltender for the New Jersey Devils, the other day, and said, "Hey, how many RTs, that's retweets, for those people like me that didn't know before I saw this, for you to take me out on a date?" Kincaid immediately tweeted back, "Who needs retweets? Chipotle next Wednesday, ? Well, next Wednesday came. They went to Chipotle. They had a great time. Taylor and Keith apparently now maybe seeing each other.
Interesting. So that begs the question that I have now for you, Frank. How many retweets do you need to go out with a cute blonde country singer?
A cute blonde country singer that probably pays more in taxes than I make? No retweets needed.
None. Just you heard it here first.
VGK Frank, hit
That's
me
right.
up.
Yeah, if you want to go at VGK Frank, if you want to go, and you can follow me at Clayton_JoeFan. Just don't ask me to set your daughter up with Alex Tuck, because I can't do it.
And don't bring your dog if you're going with Clayton.
Yeah, you're not a dog person.
Yeah,
not,
you are not.
I am not a big dog person. But hey, we got a full weekend of hockey. Blues on Friday, Sharks on Saturday. We will be with you all along the way. Catch us tomorrow, 2 o'clock. We just might have some more tickets to give away. So give us a listen every day and stick around right now for TC Martin. The Doctor is next.